This episode of the WW Review is sponsored by DVC-Rental.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Chris from the WDW Review, and I wanted to give you guys a brief introduction to the show that you're about to listen to. The reason why is for simple reasons. We actually recorded the show live in our listener group, which is EDCOT, and our intent all along was to make it a podcast. But when we gathered Stacy, myself, and Cassandra, we just started talking, and organically the show, well, honestly, just kind of happened. We realized afterwards we didn't actually record an introduction. So this is officially the introduction to the show, which features Walt Disney World news from January to early March, a Genie Plus update, and an Act of Kindness giveaway. So we hope you enjoy the show. Thanks, everybody.
Look, we're live and we're all taking a sip, right? That was like a professional opening. Hello, everybody. It's Chris and Stacy and Cassandra joining us today. So, happy Sunday. Everyone's good? All you guys are good? Stacy, Cassandra, you guys are good today?
Frazzled.
Good. Great.
Frazzled. Give me the highlight of your day. What was the highlight of your day today?
Well, I had the morning that I just kind of relaxed through, and then Scott got home, and we went for a six-mile run, and that was super fun. And then we went to Best Buy to pick up new earbuds for both of us. So that was an unexpected purchase today.
Okay.
But my AirPods have been hurting my ears so bad, and I wear them so long during the day, and I've had them for 4 years. I'm like, it's time to be more comfortable. So I got the new AirPod Pros, which I'm hoping are going to be better. And then Scott's like, yeah, I want some too. So he got some Beats. So that was a big price tag for an afternoon, but it'll be good. We use them a lot. So it's a good purchase.
Someone insert the gift right here of treat yourself, you know, right
exactly.
Now.
I'm wondering.
Impulse purchases. Yeah.
Well, and that's what, like, I don't know. I'm wondering if I might want to exchange the AirPods for the Beats, but I'm going to give them a few days to see how I like them, because my ear canals are so small that it just hurts after a while. Yeah.
Gotcha.
My chair is also doing the thing like at Trader Sam's where it's slowly dropping down to the ground. Like, I can feel myself lowering.
Stacey's shrinking.
So that's right. My day.
Cassandra, give me a highlight of your day.
Highlight of the day was waking up at 8, but it still felt like 7. Then coffee. Coffee's always a highlight.
Nice.
A little bit of crime shows. And then I got to take my new car grocery shopping today. So that's my husband put up the little cargo net in the back, and my groceries didn't go flying everywhere like it usually does, you know, in the back of the truck. So
nice.
That's so fun.
Yep, got to take the Forester to Walmart. Good nice. Times.
Did you have to throw any punches to get out of there, or everything was all good?
Everything was all good.
Walmart on a Sunday, I'm just thinking.
It was busy. Yeah. I've realized how much I've been using Shipt lately, or Instacart. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, because I just... Grocery shopping is.
I
used to do it every week.
You know. Exclusive to Instacart, pretty much. Not delivered, because I mean, I don't know how it is nationwide, but in Chicago, it's a big price tag to have it delivered. But we do like Aldi curbside. It's like $1.99 extra or something. I think that they upcharge a little bit, but I'm like, I don't think I could ever go back to just regular grocery shopping.
I know Shipt from Target is $9.99.
Okay, I gotta chime in here, because I love grocery shopping. I actually enjoy the process of looking at the items. Just today, I had some time to kill, so I ran to Tony's. Is there a Tony's by you, Stace?
Mm-hmm. Right, like walking distance.
I love like the European foods. I'm like browsing for like Serbian cookies. I love it. I'm like the only guy in America that would.
I don't mind grocery shopping. I don't like the, because we go to Aldi pretty exclusively, so I don't like the pack up procedure of doing that, and I don't like unpacking, bringing, like, I don't like all that last, the end part of it. So, I mean, when we pick them up, we still have to do that, bringing it into the house and unpacking, but it's just like,
it's not double. You know what I mean? You're not like, your own groceries. You're not.
Yes.
Unpacking. Yeah.
Like 3 hours by the time we're done with all that. And it's such a, I don't know.
But yeah, exactly. Okay. I've had this discussion with JJP, and I'm not elitist by any means. I like Aldi for a lot of products. I can't handle the checkout procedure physically, emotionally, and anxiety wise. I can't handle the girl.
Because they don't categorize. They just,
they're so fast though. They're so fast.
I can't handle it.
You know, raw meats touching apples. And,
I can't handle that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'll still break it out when I put it on the conveyor belt. And it's like, doom, doom. No, you know, it all goes in the buggy.
Gotcha. All right, so we got Stacy here today. We got Cassandra here today. And we're going to tackle a lot of things. The Dubs is good for a ton of great shows that are fun and informational, but we rarely touch news. But we realize we've not touched news in so long. It's been just about 2.5 months since we touched news. So we wanted to put a news show out. But we're going to break this apart into a few different ways. We've got an act of kindness that we've got to award, and we're doing an act of kindness thing, and I'll explain. We're going to talk about Genie Plus because Cassandra had an experience with Genie Plus, and then we've had some time with it now, and we're looking for further tips, so we've got some great feedback. And then we wanted to talk about all the news that occurred from really January 1st. Until March 15th. So if you're listening to this on March 22nd, and you're like, wait a minute, they just announced that X is opening and we didn't cover it. Realize we're doing a 2.5 month period of news here. So we're not going to be up to date. And that's why we actually hesitate from doing news stories, because we are never accurate and on time with that. So as soon as we deliver the show, it's already out of date. So we figured EDCOT and you guys are going to get it live here. So if you hear any mistakes when you listen to the podcast, please download. We still want the download. You're going to hear it pulled out. It won't be visible to the audience when it releases a podcast. So anyways, let's start with the easiest one. Can we do the act of kindness first? Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that first.
That's the most fun too.
Yeah.
So you know what? When we started this, it was the best like of intentions. And I think people are a little hesitant because they feel like it's bragging, but it's not. Just one act of inspiration could cause somebody else to go and do something. So please, on Wednesday, you know, give us your act of kindness. So we had 10 people. Everyone's name is on this really high-tech piece of paper that I folded over here. Mm-hmm. Like I was in
nice folding.
Yeah, I had to tear it in half. It's not great. So we're going to use the hat. We're going to dump it in here. Let's see here. We had Amy, Christine Erickson literally commented such nice things on everyone's post. So she's in here.
She's Jenny, the best at that, I have to say.
She is. Jenny, Murray, Cassandra, Lauren, Tyler, Katrina, Lisa Yost, and Tim. So through the first 3 weeks, three ladies have won. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm just throwing it out there. So hang on. Here we go. All right. This week's winner is, oh my gosh, it's a 2-time champion. Jenny off.
Oh, nice.
Great job.
Jenny, you get another gift card. So the gift card, actually, I'll do off site, but I mean, you'll get the gift card. No problem, Jenny. So
a 2-time winner.
So let me circle that.
So it pays to continue to be kind.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go. All right. So let's go on to, how about we talk about the news first? Are we cool with that? And then we'll get to the Genie Plus. Is that cool with you guys? That
sounds great.
Sounds good.
All right. So as far as the news and like updates, I just want to say I prepared. Explorer 1998 DVD ROM. I'm up to date.
Good.
Mickey and Goofy's University of Energy from Exxon. I'm up to date. So there's nothing you guys can throw at me right now that I don't know. I mean, I'm completely ready to go. So let's rock and roll.
So much knowledge.
So much knowledge. Ms. Callahan, lead us off. What do you got?
All right. Well, my first is the ending of Magical Express. And This was a huge blow to many people and many within our group who rely on this service. Okay. Stacey, I don't know if you do as well.
I've never done it before. Okay. We drive. So
yeah. Same here.
I can see how it's such a big deal for a lot of people.
Right. Absolutely. So this was a big letdown for some. So Magical Express, Disney's complimentary shuttle bus service, ended on January 1st. So there are options now. Of course, you have Lyft, you have Uber. Two shuttle bus options currently available are bookable through Mears Connect. And Mears Connect was actually the company that Disney utilized Magical Express through. So you can book through Mears Connect for a shuttle bus. And then you can also book through Sunshine Flyer. And that's that new bus that I believe it looks like a train.
Looks like a train, yeah.
So the pricing is pretty comparable. You can do one ways for both. Or you can do round trip. So Mears Connect is $32 round trip for adult, $27 for children. And Sunshine Flyer is $34 per adult and $25 per child. And again, both of those services, you can do it just one way. Like if you have a friend picking you up from the airport, but they're unavailable to take you back, you know, you can just utilize those services then. And then also Disney just announced that they are able to add on pickup services and take back services to packages. So that would be like through private vans, limousines, cars. So those still can be added at additional expense onto booking packages.
Okay. So. Can we talk about this for a second? Because yes. the natural feedback on this amongst the Disney community, which if you read forums or like the boards, like you get some good information and then you get a lot of like, whoa, like you couldn't possibly get yourself that upset about this. But let's just talk about this for a moment. So we have a free bus service that picks you up when staying at a Disney resort or a DVC resort, picks you up from the Orlando International Airport and literally drops you and your family and your luggage off at your resort for free. Correct. So just on the 30,000 foot overview, the motivations for this are, we're going to save you money. We're going to literally hand deliver you to your resort. It won't cost you anything for travel expenses, but we're also going to keep you on site. So now your food products have got to come from us. Your entertainment dollar has to stay with us. It's not going to be subdivided between Universal and SeaWorld and whatnot. So we're literally filling the resort with Disney exclusive guests at zero costs. But now let's talk about why it makes sense, why it disappeared. We've got like resorts after the pandemic kind of ceased and kind of slowed down, they're at really high occupancy and they can't, I mean, some of the resorts were even closed on January 1st. They were opening them in stages, sure. But we've got really good occupancy at all the resorts. We've got staffing shortages everywhere. So now we've got to staff the buses and we got to continue to pay the drivers. We got the expenses of the buses. We've got gas costs. Have you seen the gas costs recently by any chance? You know what a gas would cost to fill a bus. And at this point, you may even have spacing on the buses. So you got to run more buses. Can I be honest with you? I'm surprised this wasn't axed years ago or there was a charge levied onto this years ago. I mean, it would make sense if there was. I don't figure out why it was free for all those years. I mean, maybe it's just me thinking of it as business-wise, but man, like, I don't know if they needed this. What a nice nicety they offered. I'm not surprised, you know, that this was axed. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I, I think of it as a money grab and I find it unfortunate. It was just another perk, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was sad to go, even though I don't utilize the service.
Yeah. I see why it was though. I agree with the money grab aspect of it, because I feel like the pricing is a little high. It might not be high in general. Like it might not be high for that service when you think about all that it's giving you. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it went from free to that price, I'm thinking about a family of six, you know, taking that trip. It would be no way that we would utilize that. We would do something else instead of taking that. So, I mean, I can understand like, it would have been nice if they maybe would have gone up in stages, like for a few, like maybe for 6 months, they make it $15 a person or something, and then kind of slowly raise that price up. Disney's a business. This is what they do.
I think even if Disney would have continued to offer that service, that would not completely dropped it and charged for it.
Right.
It wouldn't have been so cutthroat. We're just eliminating altogether, you know, and I think that's just
Fine. That makes sense, right?
It is consistent with the other theme parks in Orlando, though, that there is, it is a fee and based service, you know, but I'm just thinking of the occupancy. If the occupancy was like 40% at the hotels, they're offering food, they're offering shuttle, they're offering anything they can to get you to their place. When they're like, hey, we don't even have space. And if you've checked for your DVC reservation, you know there's no space.
This is true.
There's no space to be had. Like, we don't need it right now. So I kind of get it. I do.
Yeah, this is, that's true.
So, all right, I'm sorry. Let's move along. I'm sorry, Cassandra.
Okay.
What's next?
Me again?
Yeah, go.
All right. So the Galactic Star Cruiser opened on March 1st, 2022. And I'm sure I might have stolen both of y'all's.
No, go. It's good.
No. Okay. So it's an all immersive 2-night experience. I believe it's on the Halcyon. Is that correct? So I did a little bit of research beforehand. We had explored taking this because my husband and son were very excited. But a family of four starts at $5,999. So, you know, when I compare this to, say, a Disney cruise, I could take a 7-night Disney cruise for this. One day, will we take it? Maybe. But so when I looked at availability, at one time it was sold out for a certain point in time. But when I just checked, there are actually a few dates that have popped up, even in March, for availability. So, but you can book up until the end of this calendar year. So December 31st, 2022, you can still book. Bookings are not open yet for 2023. So, but I, you know, I know that there's been a lot of reports out there for the experiences given, and it does the characters, the food, the rooms. I think the rooms are amazing.
It looks phenomenal.
And they have, Chris, I'm so surprised that we didn't get our media invitation. For that.
It must have got lost in the mail. Exactly. So. Exactly. Well, I did see actually on WW Radio. So Lou was offered, and there was media that was offered. And then Lou actually stated that he was going to give a full review based on the stay he was going to have a week later, which was not going to be the hosted stay when it was paid expense, which I could appreciate that. I could appreciate that. So, Cassandra, I'm not a super Star Wars fan like your husband or your son. I like Star Wars. I don't know if I'd ever pay to do it. But it looks phenomenal. It has to be.
If it was in the $2,000 to $3,000 range for a family of four, I think we would be signed up for it.
I do, it's
a lot of money, but it's an experience either.
I think that would have the potential to change people's minds about Star Wars. Like, Stacy's probably not a huge Star Wars person, but if she's going to go with Scott for a weekend, like, she'd be leaving her. I guarantee she'd have a lightsaber and she'd be coming out with robes and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, so, I'm all about the
one shot Disney. They have the, I think the only costume that you can wear for adults in Disney is for the Galactic Star Wars. And I don't know what they're called. I'm sorry, Star Wars fans, but it's the one with, you know, it looked like two noodles coming down. You can buy that headgear off of Shop Disney. It's really cool looking.
Gotcha. So,
but you can wear it in the parks.
Okay.
So, all
right. Stacey, you got anything you got? What's on your list?
I have the end of the mask mandate on my list. I know it's not kind of going in order there, but that's a big one. With it being dropped indoors as well. Do you know is it dropped on transportation too, or is transportation still?
No, TSA governs that.
Got it.
And,
okay.
And they're going to extend that actually all the way up to April 18th.
Okay.
And I know that because my father-in-law is the superintendent of a PACE. And, but they did say they have the right at any point prior to that date. If they decided the numbers were sufficiently low, they can end it arbitrarily. But they are extending up to April 18th for any kind of transportation.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all enclosed transportation, like the ferry boat.
Gotcha. Right.
Cassandra, were you there when they had when that was done? Or
yes, so we went at the end of January, beginning of February for the week. And we, you know, inside we did have to wear masks, and then we zipped down last weekend.
Right.
Once it was lifted, and I will say it was glorious.
Were there a lot of people still wearing masks indoors, or was it pretty much?
I would say maybe 10%.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we're going down in a couple of weeks, and I think we're just going to kind of go by feel.
Right. It was very crowded. It was, but we also didn't go inside a lot of shopping. mm-hmm. you know, just inside, you know, attractions
and stuff. Yeah. yeah.
So
okay. Did you feel like anybody was looked at funny for wearing a mask on the inside, Cassandra?
I don't think so. You know why? Because I think it's become the norm. Like there might be some, you know what I mean? Before COVID, I think obviously you would look at somebody a little funny, even though this is not uncommon for, say, you mm-hmm. know, Asian countries.
Yes.
But now I don't think there was a lot of judgment regarding it. Like,
so. Did anybody look at you funny when you were heckling them? Just kidding. Kinda.
But even when you go grocery shopping now, it's still like a mixed bag. Even when you were at you know, it's, right. it's like 50-50 and like everyone's like, hey, just do you, you know, exactly. just you know, I'm not going to worry
right.
about it.
Right.
Just, yeah. Whatever you got.
When I was test driving my car, the general sales manager was, you know, he had his mask on and I didn't.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, if you would like for me to put my mask on, I absolutely will.
That's goes, amazing.
Yeah. I said, oh no. He goes, he said, I have this on for you. I'm vaccinated. I said, well, so am I. So he's, you know, I was like, I'm cool, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. So
cool.
That was good. Love it.
Yeah. Cool. What else? Give me a news piece. I like just chiming in. I'm going to go through all the ones I got at the end. I'll clean up all the mess. So
Stacey, I'll do another one.
Yeah.
How about that Figment popcorn bucket?
Oh, I didn't believe I didn't write the one down.
That was an interesting situation, wasn't it?
Explain it to me. Tell me why this occurs, please. Why does the Disney community do this?
I'm thinking that part of it is honestly just people getting in a line to get in a line. Like, I'm sure that the people who are 5 hours back who got on that line and weren't invested realized pretty quickly that they didn't want to be there and they moved along. But a lot of Disney, and I admit to falling into it sometimes too, is fear of missing out on something really drama. Amazing. Yeah. And I love Figment and I love that popcorn bucket. And I can't say whether or not I would have joined that line while I was there. I might have, depending on what the plans were for that day. But that was just fun. And I loved all of the lighthearted, I'm sure some people got a little bit upset about it, but I loved all the lighthearted tweets that were coming out, like from Universal and everything, of, you know, like poking fun at the situation and stuff. So, but that was fun. I'm happy for all the people who really wanted one of those and who got them, because that's, you know, sometimes those things are just special and they'll probably be special for them for the rest of their lives. So
I'm thinking half the Disney community didn't even know that was occurring until about an hour after they started giving them away.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was like, I need this.
You know? Yes. You get into a frenzy with things. And that's how I got with my 50th anniversary lounge fly that I wanted so badly. I was like in a frenzy about it.
My strap ripped, Stacey.
Oh no. Mine still has like all of the packing in it everything. So like I have it on my bed right now, ready to pack away for the trip, but
wait, you haven't even used it yet, Stacey? You haven't taken it out to use
it? No, because I'm waiting for I'm holding it on to the trip. I'm hoping that's going to be my park bag going forward.
It's a good one. Yeah.
It's perfect. It's like navy, which is my favorite color, and it has
I don't want to throw shade at anybody with this popcorn bucket, but I've got a whole bookcase of craziness behind me that I'm like, oh, I needed to have that. And then once I had it, it literally secured itself a spot on my bookcase.
Yes.
To never be moved again, you know, at this point. So I don't want to throw shade at anybody, but I mean, they were literally at the Lakeland, the Wildwood Antique store within like a day or two.
Oh, really? Know, How much were they going for?
A buck, you know, $100 bucks, you know, so, but if you're going to buy it on eBay, you're buying the same thing.
It's that bad. Cause how much were they going for in the parks? Like,
25.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's expensive, but I mean, if you really wanted one,
Splash Mountain mug, you don't have to say anything.
Oh, we know.
You will always be good for that.
I also have a Figment popcorn bucket, but there was a fellow Ed Cotter that was already in line. So,
right.
Gotcha. So let me ask you guys about this. So again, no shade at anybody that happened to secure one through that fashion, but like whenever I see like the Disney reseller, the guy that has like 3 or 4 or 8 or 10, it does get my ire up a little bit about the Disney popcorn bucket. Anything that's a limited edition item, it gets my ire up to see the Disney reseller go there and do that. But then I do think, you know, we live in a society where like that's like kind of the rule, but like, yeah, I can't figure out if I'm really offended by that or not. I kind of like seeing the open market and like the insanity ensue and people going back and forth. But then I also think, come on now. Like there are people like, I'll just use her name, like Lisa Yost. Lisa hasn't been to Disney in a few years. She might really want one. Like, right. It's not fair that she's paying $1.50 for this popcorn bucket when it's her favorite character. So right. I don't quite know the way I feel about that other than bringing it up saying, yeah, I kind of feel a little icky after reading
but
it.
But here's the thing. If you really want one, if you really want something and you're willing to invest the time in looking and just kind of being on those sites, mm-hmm. you can oftentimes find a good deal that's not somebody being a complete greed monster with the like the 50th anniversary lounge fly that I got was about $30 more than I would have paid in the parks when you come in terms of like shipping really? And everything. It was only yeah. $30 more about. And I was like, I appreciate that person yeah. who's, right. who's putting that up because obviously they could have put it up just like everybody else was at $125, $150, and somebody would have bought it. But this mm-hmm. person was. But I had stalked those pages and I was constantly looking and I just kind of happened in the right place in the right time. So I'm more than happy to give somebody the business who is doing that, you know, yeah. like just making a little bit of a profit, right. but not.
They're entitled to make money. It's a free market society. I completely get that. But like on the day of when you're seeing like $500,
yes. free,
you're like, like
especially during these times of the lack of supply chain with things like yeah. when we were for the Run Disney for the marathon weekend with those spirit jerseys that I happened to be able to get one of during the expo that same day there were just on eBay
yeah.
for extraordinary prices and I from what I've heard I don't know if this is true there's only 50 made of each size because of the supply chain issues. They just couldn't get them in. Or there's only 50 delivered of each size.
Gotcha.
Don't take that as truth because that's just what I heard on the internet.
Spirit Jersey Thunderdome.
But I know that I was in that room right after it opened and there were none left. So I know that there's probably not very many of each size, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
To do like it's the supply chain issues is also having a really you know making a big dent in this as well
for so. Sure right. Stacey meanwhile has got like an extra small over her neck scarf
time surprise I'm like I wonder what spirit jerseys they're gonna have for this one
Stacey's buying the dog version of it like I got one
like spirit jerseys but they're really nice now I like them at this point but
the antique stores got them Stace too they got them on sale too all the time
oh, really
so, yeah
I can't wait to go to that antique store someday
hey and look at is that a new story that we had our first guest at the MVC
MVC
we had our yes. first guest
that yes. is a new story
and a rebooking
and a rebooking I got my yes. second guest booked so
satisfied right. customer
there we go. Chris Absolutely. Young, hello on the road. If you're listening or watching, it's good to see you. Keep those, keep the eyes on the road. So good to see you, buddy. All right. Who's got another story?
I do.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the opening dates for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind were leaked by a Disney executive who yeah. referenced Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
The tweet has since been deleted, but it looks like they are putting the finishing touches on the ride. Disney just released the minimum height requirements, which will be 42 inches. Oh, so all freaking ride.
That's great.
Yep.
That's
so exciting. We're very excited about that. So,
and your thoughts, give me your thoughts on this. Are you guys looking forward to this or not? Or, I mean, you, Stacey, Cassandra, Chris, Marvel.
Chris is a Guardians fan, yes. Gotcha. I'm excited to have a new attraction at Epcot.
Yeah. Gotcha.
People leader. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like the Guardians shows. So
I love it. And I can't wait till it opens. So will I go on it probably in the first year or so? Maybe not. I don't know about that. But yeah, no, it's awesome. It's been news on WW Magic. It's news literally them putting damage on, you know, some of the ride vehicles to make it look like it's been caught in a battle. So yeah, it's awesome. And the tweet, that was priceless too. It was up for like an hour and a half.
Yes.
And
it's permanently there on the internet. There's no removing it.
You can't ever pull something like that back. Yeah.
So they've had recent videos though now of like Zach Ridley, who's an Imagineer, show the loading station and whatnot. So as it gets closer, like every ride vehicle, it's like, oh, we just need to see a little more, just a little more. So it is special. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a true like thrill ride. I know they consider Test Track a thrill ride, but it's going to be a true thrill ride for Epcot. So looking forward to that. Stace, what else you got?
Parades are back. Gotcha. So that was exciting to see. I'm not a parades person necessarily. If I happen upon one and it's going to start in just a few minutes, I'll stop and watch. And I'm always delighted when I do watch one. We're just always there during such hot times of the year, and standing in one spot is difficult. But I was excited to see that. And I genuinely had no idea that I didn't know if there was like news that they were going to start. But when I saw it the other day, I was very excited to see that they were back. So that's just kind of another step toward normalcy.
That's what I was going to say. Anything towards normalcy, I'm excited about, whether I was a fan of it or not to begin with.
Yes. Well, and I saw a bunch of the floats and I had forgotten the float. So it's almost going to be like it's a new parade when you see it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really exciting.
They had news about how the character interactions too.
Yes, I saw that too.
Changing, then they realized it was Disney Paris that they were changing first. But just the idea, when I see Audrey and Parker or anybody taking pictures and the princess is standing behind, you know, like 8 feet away, and it's like, that's cute, but not quite right. You know, I'm hoping it'll go back, and that's great. You know, I'm glad. So hopefully, knock on wood, and everybody who's listening right now, hit the dashboard, you know, literally knock on wood that the trend stays where they're at, and it's now, you know, it continues to go into a medium risk and then a low risk. So these things.
Exactly.
So. All right. Keep on feeding. Who's got more news? This is great. Who's got more news?
I have DVC news.
Hit me.
If we can talk about DVC news. Okay.
Yeah.
So in DVC news, Disney Vacation Club reopened sales at the Grand Floridian. They converted an existing building. I think it was the Big Pine building.
Mm-hmm.
And they have converted those into from cash rooms, you know, like regular booking non-villas, into 200 DVC resort studios.
Nice.
And I will, you know, there's kind of a mixed bag of feelings with that because it does not have a kitchenette. It has a beverage cooler, but you also have two queen beds versus.
That's really nice.
And it just looks, and you also don't have a split bathroom, but the studios just look beautiful. And I was really tempted, you know, to find who my agent was to say, put me down for 150, but you know, and then also there's a little bit more DVC news on. I'm sure there's a lot more, but Disney Vacation Club has also brought back Moonlight Magic.
Yes.
So our family has not been able to utilize this, you know, option or, you know, so we were very excited about that. We do not have a booking for one of those dates, but there are 8 dates announced between Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. And so members who purchased direct or are grandfathered in will have access to these parks a few hours after closing from regular park guests. And of course, you have to go in and you have to reserve your spot.
Right.
But
yeah, it was really exciting because when we were looking at the dates, we're like, oh my gosh, it falls during the springtime surprise race weekend was one of those days. Right. But of course, Disney is super smart. And they made that night the night of the Expedition Everest 5K, which is a night run, which starts at 10 o'clock at night.
Nice.
So all the people who are running can't partake in the Moonlight Magic, but Sophie and Ethan will be with us. And so we're able to get them in. I think that we still have to walk them in since we're the members.
Right.
But then we can leave once they have their wristbands or whatever. So they're going to be able to have fun after hours, but we can't partake.
Yeah. Oh,
we've been able to go for a Typhoon Lagoon in the past.
Yes.
And It's so fun. It's a really great event. It's just like, it just feels like a fun party to be able to go do stuff like that. Loved that. That was on my list too.
Okay. Disney teased me a little bit because I got a notification that one of my stays qualified for the Moonlight Magic, but it was actually a stay that I'd canceled.
Oh.
Did you have any information on the pricing? I heard that the Grand Floridian had some unique pricing for that.
I mean, people were talking as to what they thought the price point was going to be, because of course the next DVC property that's going to be sold is the Disneyland Tower. And so they're feeling like what this came out price point wise is where the Disneyland Tower may be. So everybody was projecting $250 per point, $299 per point. And of course, Grand Floridian has a high point chart, but they came out at $207 per point.
Wow.
And with actually pretty good incentives. And but if you look at the resale market, those points were going, before this was announced, Grand Floridian points were going for about $190 per point.
Mm-hmm.
So now the resale market has taken kind of a hit.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are being reduced. Yeah.
Scott and I were talking the day of it, and it was like a lot of like exclamation points in our conversation. It's like, holy, what?
I was like, do I put in a bid at 160 now for Grand Floridian points? You know, I can't use them at Riviera, but you know, we stayed at Grand Floridian. We really, we loved it, but you know, we have so many high point home resorts that I need some cheap points.
But that two queen bed is a real big bonus, especially for like a family that's a little bit of a larger family.
Yeah.
Be able to stay, like, because we own it Polynesian. We, until Scott and I are just the two of us and Britta or something, we're never going to stay there. It's just, it's too small of a space for our size of a family.
Right.
And honestly, I don't know if I've ever really utilized the kitchenette to its fullest capacity anyway.
I agree. Yeah, I would be fine without it.
It's nice to be able to rinse out mugs, I guess, but we don't ever cook there.
That's a really good point.
It's a nice thing to have. It's just, you know, it's added counter space, but having two queen beds and
queen beds.
Beverage cooler sounds nice. I mean, I like beverages, so.
So I definitely want to stay in one of those rooms.
More news. Who's got more? Stace, you got more?
I'm looking to see. The only two that I have left have to do with the virtual queues. They had the virtual queues for the pass holder magnet at Disney Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it ends on the first day that we're going to be down there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we're going to try for it or not. When we go down for a race weekend, it's very flexible. So we might just put a time in for it and see what happens. But otherwise, I know that they've gotten rid of the virtual queues for a lot of the attractions. Like for Ratatouille, they got rid of the virtual queue. And I think for Rise of the Resistance as well.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah, so, it's Standby and Lightning Lane.
That's very exciting. Because when we were down for Marathon Weekend, it was just for Ratatouille, it was just a virtual queue and Lightning Lane. And so we end up paying. Right. Which we'll be talking about in just a few minutes for the individual lightning lanes. But it just opens up so much more for everyday guests. So that's fun and exciting.
Cassandra, any more news?
I have one more thing written down, and that is regarding Disney Cruise Line and the newest cruise ship, the Wish, is officially afloat. So it has hit water.
That's exciting.
So construction and interior outfitting continue, but the Wish will make its maiden voyage on July 14th, barring any additional delays, because that was not the original maiden voyage date. It was in June. I think they had to postpone the first 12 sailings of the Wish. So and rescheduled. Or the first few, they went ahead and rescheduled. And if you were on any of the additional ones within the 12, you had to rebook, I believe, but you had like a placeholder. Don't quote me on that. I could be very, very wrong.
Gotcha.
So they automatically rebooked the maiden voyage, though. The people that were on the maiden voyage, they automatically got rebooked for the new maiden voyage date. So, and then also, this is hearsay, so I don't even know, but Disney had purchased a second private island, Lighthouse Point. Very much like Castaway Key. And they purchased in 2019, I believe. And so there are rumors that construction has begun on that, or will be beginning soon. So Disney will have two private islands.
That's exciting. Oh,
okay, so Bob and Josh, if you're listening, which I assume you are, my Twitter handle is at Disney Chicago. If you want to get in contact with me about, you know, any kind of, and Stacy, of course, can. I mean, she's available too as well. So it's kind of three under the bus there, Stacy, and just offered myself the free ones. Anyways, all right. Any more news? There's small things that we're gonna miss, obviously, including the new Disney Weekday Magic ticket that was released a couple months ago. They're offering that. Things along those lines. I think that's probably a good summary of what's occurred from January until March 15th, but we have more that we want to talk about today. So specifically this Genie Plus and the Lightning Lane, how things have been changed and then pulled off and whatnot. So we have a little more experience. So we put in our listener group, which is Edcot, we were looking for some tips. Cassandra actually has some news in her life, and she's actually beginning training as a travel agent. Correct, Cassandra? Did I state that correctly?
That's correct. So I should be wrapping up my hopefully final stage of training. And that's just with an internal system. So I've done, you know, the College of Knowledge and the booking training. And then there's just one other internal system, and I should be good to go. And they're going to set up a Facebook page and all that stuff. So I'm excited to, while I can't take a Disney trip, I can hopefully be excited planning everybody else's Disney trips.
Okay. So, yeah. So Cassandra then wanted to get her feet on the ground and experience Genie Plus and Lightning Lane. And so we were like, hey, we've got like a wealth of knowledge here. Shed some light upon this topic for us. So in our listener group, Cassandra went down and took some tips, and then we solicited some feedback as well too. So let's just go over them quickly, because I think when we first put out the request for the information, Stace, I like texted you and was like, whoa, because we had a few people go back and forth and some, how can we say this correctly? Some negativity.
Passionate people.
Some passionate.
But deservedly so. But deservedly so.
Right. Absolutely. So, I would have been one of those people until I said, you know what? I'm going to have to be knowledgeable about this system. Because I was like, no way am I paying for that. Like, I never experienced the kiosks where you would go up and get your fast passes. I always experienced, you know, I think it was 60 days, you book your three. I was a fan of that. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, and then of course grabbing any extra that you could afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I was like, we're there often enough, I'm not going to buy Genie Plus.
Oh man, those paper fast passes were so amazing though. Really?
I'm having a hustle across Magic Kingdom.
I know, right? But you could save them all up. Like, we would save all of ours and have, like, I mean, the like fan of fast passes that we would have at the end of the day, and then we'd just be like boom, 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 boom. It was glorious.
So you could stack them as well. There wasn't return times.
There were return times. They were not enforced. We would just go have fun all day, just collect fast passes every time we could. And then like 6 o'clock at night hits, and we're just like we were rolling in the money there with our fast
pass. Because the cast members tired. The cast members like, fine, I've seen this all day long, I don't care. Whatever. So all right. So we got two links we're gonna read from. So Cassandra, how about you go through the one that we talked about on February 25th? And Stacey, you want to go through the ones on about a week ago? And then I could, you know, we'll go back and forth. Is that cool?
That sounds like a plan.
All right. That's great. Stace, you're up.
All right. So my, you know, when I put the post out, I just kind of asked for any tips from people who had utilized this system before. So, like Chris says, they're not going to all be flowers and butterflies. There are some criticisms as well, which as there should be, you know, especially anytime you're putting money out for something, you need to be completely educated as to what you're spending your money on. So Cheryl Pavia said, not sure I have a tip. I hate that we have practically no choice in the timing of the attraction. I'm not a fan. And I'll tell anyone at Disney that gives me their ear for more than 10 seconds, because I think they need to know that it's not a satisfying experience. We like to tour the parks in the morning and go to the pool in the afternoon. To take full advantage of it, you really need to commit to the parks for the whole day. I miss the old fast pass system. And there was some back and forth about same. I agree with this. And somebody else totally agreed as well. And that's one thing I'm sure that Cassandra will be talking about later. But yeah, the timing of things. If you are somebody who just kind of wants to leave during the peak time of the day where the crowds are the highest and just mm-hmm. go relax, mm-hmm. you need to be able to be totally flexible for your entire day with situations like this.
Right.
Cassandra, what do you got? Anything?
So on, I believe it was February 25th. Is that right, Chris? Mm-hmm. Tyler Lee. So I had asked for experiences because I was going in complete, like I obviously had watched YouTube videos on it and had heard about it and heard back and forth on it. But I was in the mindset of, okay, I need to wrap my head around this because we're going down to try this out. So my family had chosen Magic Kingdom because I had heard that this was the best park to utilize that at. And so Tyler Lee says, we have not used it, but almost all the reviews say the only park it is worth it is at Magic Kingdom. So you pick the right park. And then Michelle Hook also said that today's my first try at Magic Kingdom. So I'm curious as to how she came out on mm-hmm. her experience. So Tyler also said, I was hoping that they would have adopted unlimited fast passes like Universal for deluxe resorts, but no such luck. And I feel like a few of us DVC members were also, that would have been wonderful. So let's see. Rick Forbes said last trip, they had actually had better luck with Hollywood Studios than Magic Kingdom. So
interesting.
Yep. Okay. And then to Rick Forbes's response, Debbie Stevens said, Rick, I had the same experience. We rope drop Rise, finishing at 8:42 a.m., then got on Millennium Falcon almost immediately and waited in a short line for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Finished the big Lightning Lane attractions by 9:30, so used Genie Plus for everything else. Magic Kingdom wasn't quite as seamlessly, unfortunately. So she had good luck at Hollywood Studios.
Stacy, let's bounce back. Which one is you got now?
All right. So then I have another one by Megan Brower, who agrees with Cheryl. The inability to choose your time of ride when paying for it is absolutely ridiculous. Also, the fact that we paid for it several days with the purpose of getting Slinky, but Slinky was gone by 7 o'clock and 30 seconds for the whole day. That's completely and entirely absurd. It's hard to imagine them keeping the system as is. My issue isn't paying for it. My issue is the complete lack of any flexibility and paying but not being guaranteed to get the rides you want. I would gladly give them $15 for the old fast pass system, maybe more. This system is absolutely horrendous. For the frame of reference, I'm a total Disney homer and always rationalize or defend most of the things that they do that others complain about, but this one just takes a cake. I can't believe they implemented it and are still running it as is. And there were a few back and forths agreeing with Megan here, and yeah, that's like, I also don't have any problem with paying for it. I love the Disneyland Max Pass, like, which I thought was similar to the Fast Pass system at Disney World, but it's hard when they don't allow you to choose your times. Like, I can see that that's like the hard thing for it.
All right, let me chime in here, because there's some back and forth, and then Megan has a good statement here. Also, it adds, and this is like the most powerful statement a person can have on vacation. Also, it adds so much unnecessary stress.
Yes.
On my actual vacation time. Like, even the statements that follow this up, I do not appreciate being forced to choose between two stressful situations on vacation. Number one, don't pay for it. But the unnecessary stress, I think that's what people are struggling with.
Stressful. It is.
And it's not like we're not going to keep on firing. I mean, there are good tips coming up. But with the old paper fast pass system, you'd simply walk. Or with the Max Pass system, you would simply look and scroll from Disneyland and be like, oh, okay, boom. And then when you came back, you could do the exact same thing. It just feels like the stress level and being constantly monitoring your phone to time these things out.
Yeah, you have to do calculations in your brain, and I'll get into that, because while Buzz Lightyear might be available now, you're currently, you know, at Small World. Do you really want to go to Buzz Lightyear to come back? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it does cr- create unnecessary stress.
Gotcha. So, Cassandra, you actually went and you typed in some of the good tips here. So I don't know if you want, can you refer back to that one on our page, or you want us to read your comments?
Stacey, you're welcome to read mine if you like.
Yeah, I can read Cassandra's. So this really amazing person, her name is Cassandra Callahan. She had some really good tips as well. Okay, so she said her first one was by the morning of the park visit of versus adding to the entire reservation package. This eliminates paying for service that you may not need on certain park days, which is really important to know. You do not have to buy for your entire vacation. You can pick and choose. And that is a very good and flexible point to be made for this system. Worth it. It was worth it for them for Magic Kingdom. Book the high priority attractions first. They will likely be in the afternoon. However, if you wait to book them later, they will possibly be gone. Be prepared to do a mix of Standby and Genie Plus. If you solely rely on Genie Plus, you will either use up your booking times to get low priority rides immediately, but have no e-attractions to show for the rest of the day. Knock out Standby attractions with low wait times in the morning. Stack Genie Plus reservations in the afternoon for when it's the busiest. I would only recommend Genie Plus for full park days or for park days that you need to spend an early afternoon to close. You can book Genie Plus reservations on a rest morning before heading to the park. Still prefer the old Fast Pass system. However, we were successful at Genie Plus and individual lightning lanes at Seven Dwarfs on our Magic Kingdom day. Never waited for more than 15 minutes for anything between strategy of Standby, Genie Plus, individual lightning lane. Mm-hmm. And that was all Magic Kingdom. So. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And then Joe Fickus also chimed in. And, you know, one of the things that Joe is still a fan of is the touring plans and with touring plans blog. So, you know, that still is a benefit. So it hasn't quite ruled out a membership. Do you guys know what touring plans cost for a year still?
Well, right now? Well, I think it's $15, mm-hmm. I believe, but I renew every year. And I think it's $12.99 is what I pay, somewhere around there.
Gotcha. So just think about that. If you're going on vacation, you know, obviously we're not sponsored by Touring Plans or Len or anything like that, but I have a whole shelf of guidebooks that I will never look back at in my life. And I was just looking at today thinking about, I should probably get rid of that 2009 Walt Disney World travel guide that I'll never use. And it cost me $20 or $25 to buy it. But this is like current and up to date. There are people that literally go on this when they're sitting in Connecticut and like Illinois, just to look at like wait times and to optimize their plans just for a quick vacation fix when it's unachievable. So mm-hmm. again, it's a great tip. So to boil, you want to read Joe's, Stacey? I'll put you on that. You go.
I will read Joe's.
First, right. You've been reading a lot today.
Joe knows that he gives very thorough reports. So this is a very thorough report from Joe.
Joe, that was strategic that I had Stacey read yours.
Yes, this is really great for me to do at this moment. Joe Fickus says, my tips pretty much rehash those all already noted. The more I worked with it and best studied the data, it seems to work best when stacking reservations for later in the day. Those who wish to experience a good amount of attractions thus pretty much need to rope drop and plan to be in the park for a significant amount of the day. I actually hate this, but them's the breaks. Genie Plus may seem early on in a day to be a terrible waste, but once the redemption times start to arrive and other passes can be booked for immediate or near immediate use, it'll pay off. I know you'll cover the rules on when passes can be reserved, but one trick to see the exact time when that is possible is to attempt to book one of the Lightning Lane passes. If you're not eligible to do so, the system will say that you can't and should give you an exact time when you'll be able to book your next pass. Though sometimes this field is blank. That's a really great tip. Mm-hmm. If you're unsure. In order to increase chances of success with some of the harder to get reservations at 7 a.m., use the standard Genie portion of My Disney Experience to set your interest for the day, but only list those one or two attractions that you wish to do first thing. This way, you won't have to scroll down through the alphabetical listing to find something. Slinky Dog Dash, for example, it'll be right at the top. Once you've booked that, adjust your Genie day to remove that as an attraction of interest. Your Lightning Lane reservation will be untouched. It won't clutter up your choices when you're next able to make a reservation. Finally, as Michelle notes, there are Lightning Lane drops throughout the day. I could go into way more detail here, but I'll direct you to this thread and touring plan blog instead. So if you want to see this, you'll have to join Epcot and find this post. And there's a link to the touring plan blog. Basically, early availability opens around 7:08 to 7:12, presumably because of timeouts from the 7 o'clock opening. Ooh. But there are also further Lightning Lane drops throughout the day at very prescribed times. Knowing when these might be are very helpful in trying to secure some of the hard-to-get reservations. If you're really, really interested in the data behind all this, the website Thrill Data is the place to visit. There's quite a few visualizations that are fascinating, but the one germane to this is the one entitled Disney Genie Data. This shows that the return time for Lightning Lane reservations for every attraction all throughout the day. Their color coding system is pretty ingenious when understood and provides some interesting insight, with red meaning times further in the future. If there weren't further drops, we'd see a gradation from the green to red for all the attractions, though over different time periods based upon popularity. When you see red or orange shifting back to green, however, this means additional reservations were dropped into the system. Also, looking at the plot from yesterday, one can clearly see when additional Seven Dwarfs availability, red, was dropped into the day and that was already sold out, gray. This is all probably way too complicated to relay. I could tell your eyes have already glazed over as you read these words, but working knowledge of this can go a long way. So basically, going to that site and looking at this data can really help you get a legs up on the system. So
inform yourself before, don't go in blindly.
Yes, which is easy to say for those of us who are invested in Walt Disney World vacations.
Right.
But unfortunately for new people who are going in, which is a good portion of people going on Disney World vacations, it's really sad for them because they will have no chance in getting and they're possibly dropping this money thinking this is saving me. And it's just going to be disappointment.
Right.
So.
Gotcha. So let me chime in here, not only for Cassandra as she goes through this training, but for Amy, for Jesse, for Tracy, for Leanne, for everybody who's a travel agent that I've forgotten. Like if you're a first timer, even Lisa at school, my wife at school, the amount of time we've gone, she's viewed like we all are listening as the Disney expert in her community, right? Like in her teacher group, she's viewed like you are Stacy, like you are Cassandra. And if you're a first timer, like, hey, you got any tips for me from Walt Disney World? I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, you know, like this is going to be a really rough experience for you. And it shouldn't be. But if you know it's going to be that difficult, we're not trying to intimidate someone from going. Find somebody that can help you. Like go to a travel agent, let them work for you. This is like my plug for every travel agent in existence. If you're a first timer or a second timer or a third timer, or if you're a veteran, heck, it doesn't hurt. If you don't have touring plans or a listener group or friends, or go to an expert to get the help, because this is a lot, you know, it's like taking calculus and I'd be like, I can do it. You're like, no, you better get some tutoring because it's a lot of information for you. Do it. Go find a travel agent. That's my tip for the day.
And it's at no cost. Paid by
zero,
Disney.
Zero cost.
Zero cost.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So do we have anything else for the day? Because we've gone on for a while.
I have a few more on the 25th, if I could spout those off really quick on Genie Plus.
Yeah. Okay.
So Andrea Harrison said, I think it's best to buy it only if it's worth skipping the line for one or two rides. For us, it would usually be because we don't go down often. For example, I would pay $15 easily to skip an hour waiting for Jungle Cruise, and any rides after that are a bonus. And at Hollywood Studios, I would pay $15 to not wait an hour for Toy Story Midway Mania. I can agree with that. So Debbie Stevens said, despite myself, I did like it. My Slinky Dog reservation disappeared, so I would recommend taking a screenshot of your reservation, which I did based on that recommendation. So thank you, Debbie. I didn't have any issues, but I have heard about that happening. I later found out that the guest connections people could have put it back on my app and definitely take a power bank with you because you're on your phone so often.
Oh, yes.
Before this, do not, you know, if you go to a Disney, just have a power bank with you. It said, and set a timer on your phone for 2 hours so that you can make the next reservation. This was another tip that I did. So I would just immediately, so you are tied to your phone so much. So, and then she said, it does bug me that in the happiest place on earth, I have to stay glued to my device all day. And then lastly, Jennifer Bachman chimed in and said, if you are getting Genie Plus for your whole trip, try to book Hollywood Studios for later on in your trip, since it's a little more strategy required required in that. Said priority is going to be securing Genie before you book your individual lightning lane. Animal Kingdom Kilimanjaro makes the most sense. And if you're rope dropping, go ahead and get on, in line for Navi River if you're buying individual lightning lane for Pandora. Epcot, to me, Test Track is the best use here, but with Frozen included, that would be the other top choice. Hollywood Studios, Slinky Dog, all day, every day. But if you can't get it, get on right before park close. Magic Kingdom, easiest park to use Genie in, and by far the best bang for your buck. Jungle Cruise always is the first to go, so grab that if you want to ride it without a wait. And that's exactly what we did. And I think we got on there at 10:50. Says, in terms of booking, I log right on before 7 if I am on site and refresh until I can book. Go ahead and grab what you can for what you want. If you keep refreshing for times at this point, it just will continue to push out later in the day. Remember, you can book another one after you scan in at the ride or after 2 hours has passed since your last booking, provided the park has been open for 2 hours. This part is tricky. We set an alarm. So it says later on in the day, we've had luck refreshing multiple times and getting things that were previously unavailable. And then, you know, of course, know all Malik says, I was going to say all the same things that Andrea and Jennifer said, because I'm a good planner of thingies guy. But since they said, then I'll just agree. So
you realize today, even after all these tips, what I'm going to use this, I'll be like, hey, guys, I don't know anything. Can someone help me out? I'm like the kid in class that didn't absorb my attention. So before we go, I want to go back to one news story we didn't talk about. Can we talk about one more news story?
Yeah.
So what do you think about this development of residential communities, the story living by Disney? What do you guys think about that? The article hit about a month ago. It was a little less than a month ago, but the Walt Disney Company has announced plans to introduce Story Living by Disney, a new business to develop master plan new home communities with the attention to detail and special touches that are Disney hallmarks. There'll be vibrant new neighborhoods, and they'll be infused with our special brand of magic. Each community will feature distinctively designed spaces, unique amenities, and Disney's brand of world-renowned service. Some will be for 55-year-old and plus communities. Some will be regular for families. The first one's going to be in Coachella Valley in Rancho Mirage, California. So that's where Coachella, the concert's at, you know, I imagine. Yeah. So for information and updates, visit storylivingbydisney.com. And so as soon as this was released, everyone's like, ooh, this looks amazing. And it does look amazing. First off, it's in California. And California right now is like real estate on steroids to the nth degree in the first place. Now throw Disney on top of that, it's going to be really expensive, obviously. So it's not like when you see the charm, the comment, oh, I hope it's affordable. Like the world right now is not affordable, you know? So, you know, an outhouse is not affordable right now. So this won't be affordable, but it's going to be special. So
is it similar to Golden Oaks, but just not in Florida, like in different areas, or is it cheaper than?
I think it's going to be cheaper, but that's just a guess. It didn't look as luxurious and mansion, you know? So, I'm thinking HOAs. Like, what are those HOAs going
to
be?
Yeah.
So, Stace, when Golden Oak started off, I was seeing properties for 1.7, 1.8 million. That was the starting price, was 1.7, 1.8 million, which is a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And now in like the resale market, like when you find a listing, they're like $3, $7, $12, $15 million at this point. Yeah. So, but like, I don't know if that's their vision, especially for, I mean, let's be honest, they're catering to a certain portion of the fan base right here. You're looking at literally, don't get mad at me. You're looking at the 1%, you know what I mean? The 1% can afford this. It's crazy expensive. But it looks like when they say vibrant new neighborhoods, it looks like they're trying to build a community as opposed to an enclave, you know, which is a little different. I'm imagining it'll still be astronomical, you know, but I got to be honest, I'm excited to see where they build them. They're all across the country. It's just not going to be in California. There'll be some, I'm sure, in the Southeast and the Northeast, and they'll build these communities. But it makes sense. I mean, real estate right now,
super smart,
crazy. Mm-hmm. Disney branding, super smart, crazy. When are they going to build cars? Come on, baby.
I know.
Make Chris Malik happy.
That, but you could say in your face, everybody.
4 years later, take some of that. So I'm just saying, it's coming. Cassandra, what do you think? You buy it in here? You're going to save your pennies for this?
Dependent on cost, we would not be opposed to living in a community like this. If the customer service follows Disney's path.
Gotcha.
Have you seen the Disney community?
These people are wacky. You want to live next to these people? No, I'm just joking.
However, my husband wanted to get out of an HOA when we bought this house so he could work on his own car in his front yard. So I'm not sure. He would have to put that to the side. He'd have to, But if we could afford to live in that community, he probably would have a parcel of land somewhere to work on his car. So
somewhere. Rent a garage somewhere, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we try to cover the news from January 1st to March 15th, and we probably hopped over some of the stories, so we apologize. We intend on doing this more often, so stick with us for that. And we threw a bunch of shows together, and I couldn't think of a better way to spend a Sunday afternoon than with my guys here, Stacy and Cassandra. So I think that's it for today. You agree?
Great. Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. For listening today, we appreciate that. If you could go to your podcast catcher, say that 10 times fast, Ace. Podcast catcher. Exactly. leave us a review. We appreciate that. We've had some really good reviews recently. I actually had a question. We had a really good review pop on Amazon. I'm sorry, on iTunes. And then like a day later, it disappeared and had to come back. But like it like named us, it named us by names and everything. So, but like I've seen those reviews go from like 132 to 136 and then back to 131. So I don't even understand how these reviews get
posted. The person listened to an episode they did not like and they were like, revoked.
These people are the worst. They're the worst. Leave us a review. Help us out. We'd appreciate that. All right. With that, for Stacy, for Cassandra, I'd like to thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Have a wonderful day.